Should students ever be grouped by race? This year, the Little Red Schoolhouse, a progressive private school in Manhattan, decided to end an experiment of grouping all 7th and 8th grade students of color together in homeroom after the parents of the minority students objected. Philip Kasson is director of the Little Red Schoolhouse. Philip, first, what was your thinking in trying this?
We know that there are ways in which being a student of color in a predominantly white school is a challenge. And if there were ways where we could create a larger grouping of students of color within a classroom where there were white students and students of color, that would be supportive of them and that ultimately it might help with their academic achievement.
Well, you say that a part of this was based on, you know, research. This wasn't an attempt to isolate these minority students. It was an attempt to give them, what, some feeling of almost specialness.
I don't know about specialness, but our white students are comfortable in their classrooms, looking around and seeing themselves in the school's teachers. Our students of color, some of them, not all of them, feel somewhat othered in their classrooms. And if for part of their day they could feel a part of a larger group in our predominantly white school, that felt supportive of their academic experience.
Yeah. Well, you refer to this in the school's handbook, which says research points to the academic and emotional benefits to being in a classroom with others who share racial, ethnic, linguistic, and/or cultural identities. What's that research?
There's research, and this is working with some of my colleagues at the school, that shows that those students who feel that there is some sort of stereotype threat, so there are some assumptions being made about them based on their identity, and that as they are getting older and their sense of self, their racial identity is developing, that being part of a larger group, having colleagues, is supportive of their development and of their academic success.
That's hard to argue, but why not do it the way many colleges do and have an African-American club or an African-American society or, you know, something like that that they could go to?
So we have affinity groups for students and for parents. Two things about that. One, you have students who have to choose between going to an affinity group that matches their identity or some other activity with a broader group of friends, and it puts them in a tough spot. And that's really hard for middle school age kids. And I think that we shouldn't minimize the impact and the energy that it takes for, let's say, an African-American student who's one of a few African-American students in his or her class to feel fully a part of that group. And they're devoting a lot of energy to being fully there as opposed to just focusing on the academic or intellectual experience they're having.
Look, research also suggests that when teachers and students have different cultural experiences, and let's say the teachers are white and the students are black, then they have different schooling experiences, and that affects the minority students negatively. Isn't homeroom a place where it's much, you know, there's a much lighter exchange between the teacher and the student? Isn't that a place for each to learn from each other?
So it is. And in some ways what you're talking about is the real tension for us, right? There are benefits to a diverse conversation, and there are also benefits to these affinity experiences. And our job as an institution is to find ways to meet both of those ends, even though they're sort of at conflict with each other from time to time.
Yeah, this isn't unheard of. In 2011, a public school in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, this is a high school, had its junior class divide itself for several minutes every day along racial, gender, or language lines, probably the same reasoning that you are giving, for people to feel a sense of not being other, you know, being with. But, you know, any time there's a grouping of minorities in particular, it just feels like segregation. It's literally a segregated homeroom that you had. You know, do you worry about the whiff of that?
We do, and I would say two things about that. One, if you know, as people learn about our school or know about our school, the idea that we would, you know, actively group people in a way that we were taking away their civil or human rights is ridiculous, given the school's history as a place where people came so that we could fight for justice. It's what we've done for nearly 100 years. I also think it's important to know that, you know, these were students of color and some of their white classmates in a classroom with both white teachers and teachers of color, having a parallel experience to the other homeroom, and the suggestion that this was like a segregated school from, you know, way back when is ludicrous. Mm.
You know, we should say the Little Red Schoolhouse, founded in 1921, always seen as a progressive school. So what happens now? You've dropped the homeroom experiment. So how do you move forward?
We will be doing what we have done and, quite frankly, what a lot of independent schools do, which is to have race be one of the components of a student's identity that we think about when we're putting class placement together. And we've entered into a community conversation with faculty and parents and students and alumni to continue to look for the best way to meet the needs of all of our students, students of color included, so that we can have all of our students have the full LREI experience going forward.
By the way, LREI, that stands for the Little Red Schoolhouse and Elizabeth Irwin High School there in Manhattan. Where you have ended this idea of grouping minorities together in a homeroom. What do the kids say?
Some kids remain somewhat confused by the need. Other kids feel super supported. So lots of conversations with students coming forward.
That's Philip Kasson, director of the Little Red Schoolhouse in Manhattan. Philip, thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, tomorrow we'll speak with an African-American educator who says there are times to group kids of color together. You just have to get it right.